Good morning.
It is good to be back. Maybe it's not that far to even say Happy New Year, because this is my first time this year with you. And again, today, I don't know how we will run through this, because I talked to Brother Rod. You've been so kind, both in prayer and financial support. And you have sent a lot of money, I would say, for the last few months to the work in India. So therefore, I asked him, I think you have every right to know what's going on there. Unless you're saying, well, this Indian man keep coming and tell us the story, we do not know where the money goes. But let me just make a little clarification. Every year I go to India, literally I don't really need to raise my support because the school pay for my travel and other expenses. And normally also I do run a class for those who want to take the class. And every single money, I mean a dollar that I raise from here goes 100% to the work in India. And therefore, I want to share with you a little bit here so that you'll be encouraged. I don't know whether I have ever speak about the mission here in the church, but if not, I will give you a little statistic, then you'll understand as we go around a little bit with this trip. If I ask you one question, do you know how many, what is the population of the world today? How many people are there in the world today? Good. 7 billion. Is that all? 7.16 and 17. China and India, they are battling with each other in producing babies. Somehow, with the one-child policy in China, likely will beat you by 25, for sure. Okay? And now, with that 7-point-something billion, any idea how many missionaries we have in the world today? Speak, I'm not going to beat you. Any idea? Huh? Brother Rod saying 200,000. What do you think? Some raise it to 300. 400,000. Okay, let's stop there. Yes, correct. 400,000. Bingo. Okay. So some of you now, professor like Brother Peter, and many of you know maths, and if you put that number of population and divide it by the number of missionaries we have, 400,000. And let me just also straighten up a little bit of information there. Don't simply believe the Indian man. You can find that information from Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary website on the issues of the Global Index of Christianity. And we have to take about 25 to 35% of the people now who call themselves a missionary, but they are not biblical conservative Christian. They are all around the world doing what? They try to civilize the people. They try to clothe them. They try to teach them how to boil the water, how to dig the, you know, the latrines and things like that. But they don't share Christ anymore. Because that is a wave now in many. I am here to not to mention denominational, but there are many denominations that say today, yeah, Jesus is not on the way, he's one of the way. So don't interrupt the people. If you speak that he's on the way, they kill you. So that's the reason they go into that idea. So now when you look about that, literally, humanly speaking, I cannot really think humanly that we can ever reach the world for Christ, humanly. But spiritually, I know we can, because the Bible says, it is not by might, it's not by the power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And God is moving mightily in many places, in China, in India today, in which revival after revival, in which no longer the work of the pastor. Many work in India today is being done by the lay people, plus national. In India today, maybe some of you have read in the newspaper, for the last 8 months, we got a new government. Did you hear that? And this government is a Hindu government. Actually, about 3 weeks ago, some of the Hindu proclaimed that the new prime minister is supposed to worship him as a god. And they have built a temple for him in the state of Gujarat. And the persecution is now on in India. I'll talk about it a little bit, but I don't know how I will do this. Both mission report, persecution plus preaching. But I'll try to do my best, okay? So the last time when we talk about India is that good. And I want to say thank you, because if the work of the mission will go around the world, it can be done not only by the American only. They and we from us, including you, maybe you are Chinese, I'm India, but we consider ourselves in America, we need to invest heavily through the indigenous approach of the ministry. Number one, you don't have to send them to school to learn the language. They know the language. Number two, if you talk about the worldview, they live in that, they know what the worldview is. If you talk about the religion, Hindu, Muslim, whatever, we have tons of them in India. Whatever the background they come from, they pick those religions so well. Better than any religion professor in America, because they are born in that culture. Number three, and number four, I keep saying number three. Number four, the cost. You know how much we support one missionary in India?
Another guess.
$150 to $250 a month. If the American would go to India, not the missionary, but the Indian government required them at least to raise about $4,000 to $5,000 a year. Why? Because if anything happened to them in their country, they don't want them to pull out from their tax money. You get the point here? If they need to be airlifted or whatever, that's the money. So roughly 5,000 multiplied by 12 months, how much? Okay, 60,000 divided by $250. How many Indian missionaries could do the work? How many? If you are smart like me, you would say a lot. Good, good. I'm glad you laugh. This is supposed to be the church. So now, let me tell you, because in the church, sometimes I don't like to the church where, you know, you go and you put a long face like somebody died. So it's good to laugh too, to praise him. So now, the last time I went to Bombay, number one, I spent a lot of time, literally not just to encourage the people, wherever opportunity we go, we proclaim, we announce the good news of Jesus. The good thing about me, when they hear me, they see to my skin, and when I pull my passport, they will not do anything. Sometimes, because being Indian, okay? But still, I'm afraid sometimes. Because this is the place where I preach, right among the, whether it's on and off. It is working now? Yes. Okay, let me go back. Oh, it's working now. Oh, what happened here? Now it's working. That kind of a service we run there, it's about 2 to 3 services a day. Because we cannot accommodate the people every time. You see that? At least in America, we have the air condition, we have the heat. Oh, no, there's no heat here, right? At least we have a good chair. No, I'm just for fun, okay? I'm not complaining. I can see Brother Peter laughing at me. So that is the way they do things. This is how they worship. This is another church where I speak, and Brother Smith right behind me is a guy that we support from our church in San Rafael, and we support him at the cost of $200 a month. And he is planting about 4 churches. Make sense? And I am with the IA. Hopefully, by the end of the service, you might say, hi, maybe we might join you too. So I need to pray hard about that. Okay. The next, this is the worship time. And this is one of the services in which I cannot speak in their language, because you know how many languages we speak in India? Wow. That's too low. Raise the number again if you want. No. 1,965 languages and dialects in India. Okay? I was talking with a brother right there in the back. We talked about the book of Acts today. When I got here in the morning, we had a little Bible study behind there. He dragged me and he opened the book of Acts to me and we feast the word a little bit there. I am there. We speak in tongues in India. I have only about 7 languages in my hand. And some fellow Indian would speak about 10 to 15. And my brother there in the third row too, he knows that situation in India. In the north, you speak Kashmiri, Punjabi, Rajasthani, Bihari, Urdu, and I can go on and on and on and on. And it takes American minimum 3 to 5 years to learn at least one. And some of our guys, like this year, I'm speaking in a Punjabi language, but not me, through this lady. She's thought to be a pioneer walker because literally the Lord found her, and through her, she started the church, despite the persecution and hardship. Okay, this is one of the guy, after I preached, and I said, do you want to talk about Jesus? Because in India, we don't keep altar call like that, what you do in America. You have to be very slow to talk with them, because what? If you say simply, you want to come to Jesus, every Indian will want to come to Jesus. You understand? You understand the logic behind? Because they have 335 million God and goddesses in the list. To add Jesus is not a big deal. You get the idea? So you really have to say, hey, don't come to Jesus, but if you want to talk about Jesus, then you come and talk. And every time I talk, we try to explain, and finally we push to the point where we say, do you really believe that Jesus is the only way? And then sometimes people say, God bless you, let me go home. Do you get the idea? Because what you say and what they hear is 2 different things. It's a lot of theology there. So this is a guy, and we talk a bit, and then I preach again. And then this is in a school. They pay about like $2-3 for 3 hours. And they allow us to meet in the outside of the school where they just put kind of a church there. And there again, we proclaim Christ.
And you could see those people, I think, I would say more than half of those people, literally the Christian friend bring the non-Christian to hear the gospel. Okay? And that day, I'm not saying that every one of them Christian, but at least about 10, 15 of them really show interest. Because like I said, you cannot just boom say come to Jesus. Because what you say, what he has different thing. So we call them the seeker, in which we try to talk to them, do you really understand what we mean? So, wow, this is another interesting part. I got a chance to visit at least about me 10 to 15 house churches. If I put every slide here, so by 12 o'clock, I think we're just talking about India, no word. So at least this is what example that you see, one of the house churches, and you see, and this people, it sounds like, yeah, you might never see this, people pray and praise, and sometime when you go to this church here in India, you know how long they worship? This is what they say. We finish when we finish. Get that idea? You look like the woman. Right before I preached, and the Spirit just came and she started praying. And I looked at my watch. She was praying for 20 minutes. Get that idea? New. Very new. Very new in Christ. This is another house church there. You can see them some. This is a small church where you could see the pastor. I think if I could pin him right there, Sunil. He's another new pastor that the church from somewhere in what you call the city called Tracy, the Southwind Church. They are picking up, and he's the one. And we spend some time also in training. These are all the men and women, and especially in the midst of that, if I have time to tell you the story, you see that guy there. That guy, he was a temple priest for almost like 50 years. Out of the blue, one day. Son number one died, son number two died, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 son died. You can check with Dr. Durst when he come and preach, because I introduced him to Dr. Durst, because Dr. Durst, as a theologian, he just couldn't believe, he scratched his head. And he asked me what happened. I said, you know, Dr. Durst, what happened? After the seventh son died, his wife died. And he kept doing his temple ritual every day. And he began to question the Hindu faith. One day, not in the night, 10:15, 10:30 in the morning, according to him, I met him personally, this guy right here. I introduced him to Dr. Durst. Lightly, Dr. Durst would do the article. I and him will work the article for the International Mission Board about his conversion. 10:15, 10:30 in the morning, Jesus appeared right in the main door of the temple. Some theologian in America, they said, maybe no way. I said, you cannot stop him if he wants to appear. Then, it is not real. The second day, Jesus appeared to him. And then after that, he ran and looking for somebody to ask, who is this Son of Man? White in color, white from the top. And he bumped to one of the Southern Baptist indigenous missionary. He shared Christ. And when he shared Christ, he said, I want to be baptized. Less than 3-4 days, he was baptized. And then after that, he went back to the temple. Right in front of the temple, he preached the gospel, whatever he knows. And the village came and took him from the temple, beat him black and blue to the point of death, and they took him from that little village to the city of Mumbai. And he was there with all like this. And they called him India, Baba, please don't go back to that village. He said, no. I have been lying to the people for years and years now. How can I keep quiet about this Jesus who saved my life? To make the story short, less than a few years today, this guy again led about 4,000 to 5,000 people to Christ. Okay? Sounds like. Don't believe me. Double check with Dr. Durst. He's my living witness. And when Dr. Durst looked there and I said, hey, Dr. Durst, you stay with him and I'm going to have a little shopping and try around with my people and then I'll get your report when I get back. And when I got back to Dr. Durst and I said, what did you hear? He said, wow. I said, what did you hear? And again he said, wow. I said, that's all you hear? He said, prosperity is unbelievable. And I said, listen, this is not only among the Hindus. Jesus now is busy actively revealing himself even to the Muslim world. And if that would happen, my friend, your role here is very important, not just about the money. We really need to pray for the global world mission around the world today. The Islamic is getting nastier and nastier in their way they kill and torture people. But in the midst of that,
Jesus said, okay, if you don't have enough people to go, I'll show up myself in front of the temple. Get the idea? I kind of been roam around here. This is part of the training too. Could you believe this? And people said, hey, Prosperly, would you baptize them? I said, no, I'm not going to wet them. Because you have to disciple them. And this is a guy, one of the Indianist pastor right here. You see him? He was hesitating. I said, hey, I can fish, but you can wet. So I fish and he make them wet. And we had a good baptism there. You see that? That's number two. And I can load on and on. You see that? Do you see that? This is a whole brand new family. They abandoned their idols and even no more connection with the rest of their family. They are willing to pay the price. I have decided, we have decided to follow Jesus. This guy now, the IMB, International Missionary Board, and along with us, trying to help him because the family took everything his business. And we tried to raise the money for him, at least for 2,000 in India. I think the brother there, you remember Delhi, those three-wheeler? They call it what? Rickshaw. And that's what his trade. So he said, hey, don't worry, we'll try to find a way so that. But still, he's kind of being afraid because they might beat him in the street if they see him. So that is what you are doing. And then, not only that, we go to the worst of the area. We involved with the human trafficking. Here, this is Sharing Christ in the red light area. This is my student. She's from Hawaii. And you could see Daniel a little bit from his Korean and a few others there. And we spent time in this place in which, I don't mind to tell you, that is also our student, Jacqueline, from Tracy, from Philippines. And these are the prostitutes in the area. And sometimes we call them by that name, but let me tell you, 90% of them do not really want to go and prostitute themselves, being sold at the age of 12, 15, 16 years old. In that very area we went, there's about less than maybe 45 to 50,000 prostitutes. And some of them now as young as 15. Because the trade is so hot now, because in North Africa today, there is a belief system saying that if a man who has HIV/AIDS, and if he gets a chance to have a relationship with a virgin, he will be healed. So they literally go to Bangladesh, to Nepal, to all the poor country around India with the assurance, come to Mumbai, we will send your daughter to school and she will work for us in the house. How much will pay for a man? And they say about $100. And you know how much is $100 for the villagers? Any idea? 6,000 rupees plus. And some of them, illiterate, when you give them stacks of money with a small note, and they walk like this with the pants like this, full of money. And the father saying, a lot of money, take my daughter. So they take them to Mumbai. And the next day, they will sell them sometime. The lowest is $15,000. And by the time they get to North Africa, it will be less than $75,000, $85,000. I met a bunch of them from Afghanistan. I don't have the time to show you, not a place. But you see that? Many of them came to us, pray for me. Some of them with AIDS. And you will see one of the lady, her name is Rema. She's in a dying state, and maybe by now she must have been gone. That lady, this is a guy too, from California, he's my student. And after this trip, he came quietly to my office the other day. He said, Prosperly, I think God's calling me to India. This week we had a missions conference in Golden Gate. He signed up to be trained fully, and hopefully he'll be going to India. And I liked his hair, and I said, you look like a Hindu sadhu, the holy man. So I said, keep it up, my friend. And he laughed at me. Some professor looked at me and said, what? And I said, yes. You see his head? And this is what I'm talking about, the Rema. If you could see her right there, she is in the advanced stage of AIDS. According to the human trafficking mission over there, one of the doctors treated her and he said, if she would stay maybe another week, that'll be great, but likely within a day or two, she's gone. Don't know much. I said to the student, you and I, we cannot say who's going to heaven, who's in, who's out. But my part is to proclaim Christ. And this girl here, her name is, she's also my student, her name is Michelle. She's also committed to serve in India. 3 years ago, she was in India. She
She was attacked by the non-Christian and they slashed her throat. Airlifted from Mumbai and spent almost like 1 year in Denver to get fixed off her throat, but never back down. She came to me prosperously. I need to go back to share the love of Christ. Michelle that day, because she knew a bit of the language, I said, Michelle, you can't talk to her. She said, do you want Jesus? Rima nodded her head. Do you believe him that he's the only way? Yes. Would you want to pray? Pray. I don't know. But maybe if I check, maybe next week, maybe who knows? By now she must have gone. So this is the Seaview Training Center. You have heard about the issue, the money you raise from here? Yeah, and this is cost about a few, just like 1,000 rupees there. And this is a guy that we appointed, a trained guy, under the leadership of the pastor and his wife. They are running this center for those prostitutes who want to get out from those old ways of life and give them the skill. India today is supplying all the clothes that you buy from Walmart, very cheap. You look right here, made in India. Some of you might look around and think, might be like about few Indian men, Indian women here if you look at it with that tag right here. And this woman, when they train there, and what they do, they go back and we help them through the bank to get them the loan to buy a sewing machine. And then she go to the company and get 5-6 pieces, whatever the clothes, in a day, whatever she could make. And by the evening, she goes back to the company, to the quality control center, look every bit and pieces of that piece of cloth, and if it's okay, they stamp it and they said, here's your money. And many of them smile to us and say, you gave us life. It's $125, one machine. We don't give them directly to them. The machine goes to the center where we train batch by batch through the day, sometimes 4 or 5 batches a day. So you people here, even though maybe I take a little time to talk about it, I think you need to know. You might not see more of this, any of these people here, but one of these days, some of you would say goodbye to the world and you'll enter into the presence of Jesus. That means they call it death, okay, when you die. And you would see Jesus face to face, and likely Jesus would say, thank you for putting that little dollar bill in the offering plate. And you know there's a household somewhere in the world that you have touched with your generosity and your sacrifice. This is what happened. I thought I'm going to preach, Brother Rod. I don't know whether I'll get to do that or not. This is Daniel. He's one of the pastors that student with me, and he's also a Korean pastor. And he dedicated this sewing machine that he, as a student, sacrificially gave that machine to that center. And here's the guy. And he came back here, he said, prosperly, I think my church, I want to promote this. And the other day he said, I just got so far, $400. I said, keep it up, keep beating the drum. And then those people who've been receiving those machines there in the training center, they did it in the church building. You see this guy, Mohan, he came with me last year. I didn't get a chance to bring him here. But he's one of the converts many years ago now. He just finished his MDiv in India. Okay? And Mohan now is busy translating the Bible into many languages. And that day, after the dedication of that machine behind, you see he gave them the Bible for those who can read the Bible in their language. Okay, that? And that comes from your dollar. Bear in mind. This is another lady. Hello? And finally, this is my mission trip team. A little bit here is a lady from Hawaii, Jacqueline from Tracy, Cornell from Houston, and Michelle, the one that I shared. Believe me or not, the day before we left, we prayed together. She was crying. And I said, Michelle, what happened? She said, what a burden is lifted. Because no matter if they would slash me one more time, I'm coming back to stay in India. Yeah, she's still a student here. If you ever get a chance to invite her, invite her, and she will tell you the story. She was attacked in a public train with a knife right on her neck. And then, that guy with the long hair, you see that? This is some of our faculty in Golden Gate, they look at him, they can buy doubt whether he's a Christian or not. I said, man, don't touch that. I'm going to take him to India. Likely the Indian people would consider him a sadhu. And sure enough, by the time we took him around, many Indian one, hey, would you take a photo with us? And I said, that's the connection. And this is Korean guy, and with the Indian man, he looked American today, right there. Are you excited?
Yeah.
So this is, you know, you may say, oh, the church is small. There is no such a thing called small in the kingdom of God. Because Jesus used the example of that smallness about what? You remember? When he talked about the faith, he measured with what? Not with a gallon. Not with the kilos. He didn't start with the gallon, nor the kilos. He started with what? The mustard seed. Your little thing is really powerful. And many of you Chinese here, you know the story of the mission in China. The guy who pioneered the work in China, name is what? You know his name? Hudson Taylor. And this is what he said. Little thing is little thing. A dime is a dime. You cannot change that statement. But faithfulness in the little things in itself is a big thing. Today, if you say, I have nothing but a dollar. If all of you put a dollar together today, you can feed at least about 5-6 prostitute in that area. Because $1 is equal how much? 63. I taught my student during the time there, and I said, we will not go to any restaurant in America. I'll take you to the place where you can eat a dollar a day. I don't have the time to show the photo. I took them to the restaurant. Literally, we eat a dollar a day. And the American would say, wow. And I said, you would understand that is the level, the standard of the living where most people live here. And on top of that, what happened? These guys raised their money. We gave them scholarship, raised the money from churches. Before they head back, they came to me. They said, Prosperly, this is a leftover because you taught us to live so simple. $1 a day is still a lot of dollar and Indian money. What shall we do? And I said, lay it down to the altar. So we gave it to the ministry. But while you see about all this excitement here, my friend, the situation in India now is not that good. Honestly, the day I left India, part of me is crying because this is what? It's so easy to go and preach and announce the good news because I'm coming back to the land of the free and the home of the brave. Freedom is here. As I board the Singapore airline to fly back to San Francisco, there was such a brokenness for almost like 3 hours in my heart, knowing that I don't know what would happen to the rest of those parts of India. Would you turn that slide, the next slide? This is what happened right now in India. Do you see that lady? Lost completely all for the sake of following Jesus Christ. See that? That is the home of the missionary, and that is the missionary cup. This is one of the pastors, not a Baptist pastor. But in India, we do have this Christian coalition that when we stand together in front of the government. And this is guy, I'm not sure, I need to check whether he make it or not, but so much of a bleeding. Not with a gun, literally with a sword. I don't think you like the color. This is another pastor. They paid with their life at the cost of $150 to $200 a month. And some of them, these people, they don't have enough to pay their medical bills too. Because they walk away because of Jesus and their family disowned them, literally disowned them. You know, in India, we have a joint family. Some of you know that. When you walk to embrace Jesus, that means you say goodbye to the world and goodbye to the family. Their only hope will be church family. See the church there? See, the Christian home. This is what happened. They ran away for their lives to the woods, to the jungle, and by the time they get back home, this is what they see in their home. And this is a place where most of the Christian, not only just Christian, ministries like World Vision International, have you ever heard about them? Samaritan Purse, have you ever heard about them? Many of them joined together to feed these people because, likely, I would say more than half of these people will never, ever go back to their same home, neither to the same place. Lost completely. When I say completely, the only thing they own in their life would be a piece of the cloth in their body. That's it. That's it. And this is a Christian protest in Delhi, which I mentioned there's a Christian coalition now.
They tried to go to the government, but even though I didn't really like Mr. Obama, but I think he did a good job the last time when he was in India. He talked about the Christian persecution to our prime minister. And after the recent attack in Delhi, he called him again to remind him. I don't know whether that will happen or not. But that's something good about Mr. Obama. He did say that. And here, which has happened, this is not during my time there. I asked the people from India, and this has happened on, you see that? In India, is this the date, this is the month, and this is the year. Unless you'll be confused with the Americans, sometimes we messed up with that. They said, come on, professor, what are you talking about? We are in the second month, so where do you get on the fifth year? So you are ahead of time. So just to make sure that there'll be no suspicion here, okay? To make sure that how that's how we write the date. So this is actually sent to me from India, and this is what happened. So now, I don't know about you, whether those photos disturb you or not, but if the photo speaks to you, the Bible says, remember those who are in prison. Remember those who are being persecuted. So my request to you, not only to you, even me and my wife, we try to do the best we could. I know that I cannot solve the problem of the world, but like Hudson Taylor, little is little. But faithfulness in the little thing itself is a big thing. So as a Christian, no matter a Chinese, American, African-American, or Korean, whatever, you see in my team, I have all sorts of people with me. To respond to the persecution, to respond to the persecuted church, it is the responsibility of the whole church. Yeah, that is the whole church. Every Christian from every part of the land, every nation, to stop it. And I'm here, I'm not ashamed to tell you, if you see those photos, if you hear their cry, I will let that to Holy Spirit to speak to you today. And this is what the cry from there. Let me move a little bit of the slide. Indian Christian needs your help. Please pray for the Indian Christian. Continue to remember those in prison if you were together with them in prison. And those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Hebrews 13:3. If you are the person, don't worry about the size. I still remember the day when I left, on the way to left India, one of our church members, I don't want to name her. I know that she struggled with her life and she called me. She said, will you be home before you leave? And I said, yes, I will be home. So she came and gave me that little check. And she was literally with that kind of a face to give that check. And I asked her to sit down. I said, hey, don't look. Don't look at that amount. First of all, I said, you know how much is in India? I don't want to mention you the amount. I said, let's multiply it by 63. And after I multiplied by 63, that long face turned into a little bit of shining face and with the tears. Is that true? And I said, yes. This amount of money, you can feed one group of the prostitute in one home for a whole day. She said, no way. Do you want a receipt? No, I trust you. Do you see the point here? Do you see that? And on the top of that, I said this to her. Our God is the God who can add zero behind your number. Do you get the point? It may be five, it is okay, but the Lord can do three zeros behind that and you say, wow! Because He is the Creator, He can create out of nothing and make that nothing into something. So today, sounds like I'm done to preach now. I don't know whether I'll get to preach or not here. But if you are the one, make sure that you write that name. Even today, I returned one of the checks to Brother Rod because of the spelling. And watch out in India, we cannot use the word ministry. We cannot use the word church. And one of the checks from this church, I returned back to Brother Rod because somebody in the church who handled that payment, whatever, she kind of been putting the word Maharashtra Baptist Ministry. And when the people saw that ministry, they said, hey, this check will send us to jail. I said, hey, I'll bail you out. I'll take it quickly to America. Okay, make sure that you use that. Or if you give anything, give it to Brother Rod and he will send it to me and your money will go to that ministry. And they will dispense
all what you would give to those people, whether it will go, and especially in this case, if you give to Brother Rod, and Brother Rod will put a check together saying, to the persecuted Christian. Okay? To the persecuted Christian. So now, sounds like I have used my preaching time almost out. I don't know, Brother Rod will beat me or he will hug me, I don't know. So anyway, once again, I would say thank you. And like I said, it's difficult for me sometimes to go and preach now once a while because I'm not a big fan in terms of topical study. Whenever I happen to help the church as a pastor, my approach to the word is always like a very systematic way of teaching, like a book study verse by verse. But somehow when you invite me now, I will say yes because you give me the platform, I beat the drum of India, and I'll share a little word, and I'll say God bless you. You see that? So today, what I want to share with you is that something is not really that I would say that I spend a lot of time, but especially I would say the product of my own devotion. This is the last few weeks I bought this devotional from India, and I put together this thought for my sake, and sometime maybe when you come and go to churches like this, this topical sermon might help. And let me tell you, my friend, we are living in the world today, especially in the Western world, where we are living the life of abundance. Yes or no? You like it or not, we are living in the land of abundance. A lot of waste. And we will live in the place called America in which sometimes we forget about the blessings of the Lord. We don't really live it in the right way. But if you talk in terms of food, in terms of the water sometime, do you know, there are places in Africa, there are places even in India today, people fight for the water. Where some of us in America, we get into the shower and we'll start to sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, and we stay in the shower for half an hour. That's the kind of a life. The bread, just one day late from the store, we toss them away. But this is what the prophet says. Way back, the prophet Amos, he said, the days are coming in which there's a famine in the land. A famine, not a thirst for the food or the thirst for the water, but a famine of the hearing of the word of God. Today, my title of my sermon is that, can you move to the sermon level there? The four basic essential to spiritual life. My friend, I teach there in the Golden Gate. Not only that, before that, I was a professor too. And I see that it's happened not only just in the church, but I see that even among the students who are supposed to be going out there in the future to do the ministry. Every classes I run, every exam I run, I always ask them, make sure to support your answer with a Bible verse. And I said, if you don't do that, I will kill you. They look at me shocked and I said, I will. And the problem with that today, people, they know how to answer all the questions, but what the Bible says about it, we don't know. And now the Bible is no longer in the book. They call it what? In the iPad, in the nose pad, in the ear pad, whatever the pad that comes from. But still they don't know the Bible. And let me tell you that if you and I, because I think the time is running short now, if you and I will live a productive, effective Christian, remember, we need to nurture our Christian life in order. First of all, the human body needs what? I use the word bread there because I tend to look to from the English Bible, but the next time I come to preach to the Indian church and the Chinese church, I would use the word the rice of life. You know, I'm not just looking to you, this guy too. I eat rice, you know, how many times? Rice in the morning, rice in the noontime. Rice till the sun goes down, you see? We need rice. Is that true? If you don't have rice, will be what for the Chinese? Noodles. If not rice, to the Indian is what? Chapati. Get that idea? But all what we're trying to understand that in the physical realm, bread, rice, noodles, chapati is necessary to life. The nutrients in bread enable the cell in our body to perform the function that we need supposed to do. But let me tell you, if you are truly a born-again Christian, my friend, that's what sometimes I used to tell my student. The outside looks so good. The way you cool, the way you put your hair, and especially for us, Sunday morning, we know how to dress to be Christian, don't we?
right? We dress to look just like what the church expects me to dress. But the Holy Spirit in the Bible says that men look into what? Into the outward appearance, but God look to what? Into the inside of your heart. Maybe this morning is a good time to do a little inventory. This is just the third week of the second month of the new year. How is your life in the Word of Christ? Christ declared to be the bread of life. He satisfied the innate hunger of the soul. He kept those who trust Him from spiritual starvation. Jesus said, man cannot live by rice alone. Oh yeah, for the Indian man. For the Chinese too, rice alone. Man cannot live by chapatis alone, nor by noodles alone, but by what? By the Word of God. Remember, my friend, don't get mixed up here, and you may ask me, how will you mess up in your preaching, say Christ is the bread? If we have the time to expound it carefully, do you remember in the Gospel of John chapter 1, in the beginning, what happened? The Word, and the Word was what? God. And finally, the ra-ra-ra-ra-ra down the line of the chapter, he said, lo and behold, he came and dwell among us. Who is that? Who is he? The Word who came and dwell among us. Who is he? Christ. Wow. In order for us to live vibrantly for the Lord, every Christian must depend solely on the bread of God, which means what? The personhood of Christ. Today we don't see him in flesh and blood, but we see him where? In the Word. My friend,
let me tell you, the Bible speaks about this Christ. In the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was what? God.
Today, we are living in the world which is so advanced. Even my student up there in the hill called a theological student postgraduate, I said, hey, it's good to talk about those high fancy theology. Yeah, it's important to talk about ethics, morality, apologetics, and da-da-da-da-da. But if your life is not there in the foundation, the devil will look at you one knock and you will be down forever. Time is running. Do you feast to take time to feast in the Word of God? Secondly, the essential in order to be healthy. Again, physically, water is essential of life. Our bodies are largely composed of the water. Without it, people will soon die.
Let me look into the notes because I have this. My wife is a bit health conscious. She's got all those dictionary. And I steal a little bit. I call it the holy stealing. I just copy and paste, okay? Don't ever look at me. It sounds like this guy is intelligent. This is from the book, okay? And this is what it's saying, that water, it provides some five vital functions in the human body. Water is the carrier, distributing essential nutrients to the cell, all different forms, shapes of minerals, vitamins, and glucose. Water removes all the waste products, including the toxins that the organ. And those that who cannot flush the water out, what happened? We call them what? Kidney failure, right? They have to depend somebody to clean their blood, right? They go to the place where they do what? What's that? Cleaning up the blood and take away all the toxin. Very interesting here. Sounds Indian man is a bit smart, right? He knows a bit of medical now. Water participates in the biochemical breakdown of what we eat. Is that true? The Indian people, after you eat a lot of chapatis because they're dry, your grandmother will tell son, take at least 3 glasses of water. And if you don't do that, I will hear you scream tomorrow in your restroom. Get that idea? We don't go into the detail of that, okay? Water has a large heat capacity which helps limit, changes the body temperature. And then I can go on and on here. Water is an effective lubricant around the joint, eyes, so on and so forth. And according to the science saying, this is why nobody can live more than 3 to 5 days without a water intake. This is the reality from the physical life. But what about Jesus? If you look into the water in the Bible or in those Bible encyclopedia, water always symbolizes the work of what? Look to the notes and say together, I will not beat you. It's a symbolizer of what? You sound like you're scared. Would you raise your volume a little bit? It's a symbolizer of what? Of the Holy Spirit. He quenched our spiritual thirst and empowered us for the ministry. I don't know whether I preach a sermon here or not. Be filled with the Spirit. Why do we need to be filled? You cannot get up saying, Lord Jesus, good morning. I don't need him because I already filled yesterday. Hey, don't ever try to walk a Christian life like that. You cannot be filled yesterday for today. In my walk with God as a teacher, to impart this spiritual education to the people, I get up in the morning in the form of a cup and I said, God, fill me to the brim. Full tank. Why? Because after 3 hours of lecture and another class, 2 classes a day, by the time you go back home, what will happen? Lightly you will dry. Jesus recognized the battle. When we total surrender to the Holy Spirit, he will cleanse and he will fill us with love, and his love reaches out to others through us. Brother Rudd, help me to make sure that what time I'm supposed to stop, just to make sure. Another few minutes. 5 minutes, okay? Yeah. I like this church. You know, you cannot do this. American church is so big. So I have to keep looking through, but I didn't remember what time I start today. Okay? Read those verses, I think, if you take notes, and you would see it. Christ invites us to come to him because he is the source of the living water. I cannot face the reality of life on a daily basis with all the challenges of my life, whether a job, home, being a mom, being a dad, being whatever kind of a job you're doing, you cannot face the challenge of life without the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I don't hear the amen. I could hear mm-mm. 2, the living water keeps a man forever thirst again. His inner thirst will be quenched. And sometime a lot of people today, when they don't have the word, when they don't have the spirit, what happened? Christian life tend to get bored and people get distracted and they go through this and they go through that. I don't have time to talk about that. There's a lot of distraction. One of the Indian men, his name is Ravi Zacharias. I don't know whether I've quoted him here or not. And this is what he said. Some people say, hey, we need the word. We need to look to the word. We need to do the word. He said, yes, that's good. The word of God, the bread of life without the water, remember, there will always constipation. Remember that? And Ravi put it in the right way. He said, this is the right word he said. If you are too much in the word without the Holy Spirit, you tend to dry up. And if you are too much in the Holy Spirit without the word, you tend to blow up. Make sense there? Essential for your Christian growth. I have been in churches where, you know, from the beginning of the church to the end of the church, it's just about the Holy Spirit. And by the time you finish, I mean, you could feel the building might be collapsed. So loud. But they don't have the word. Time is running according to... Brother, he said, yes, we have a few minutes. I don't know whether I will be able to get that done or not quickly. The living is a spring water placed in the man. The well is not outside, but inside the man. You remember Jesus said? Read that section and you would see, the spring will swell from the innermost being of your life. The spring of the living water will continue to spring up and bubble, flowing on. And the living water spring up to eternal life. It will never end. My friend, nutrients to the Christian life, essential to the Christian life. You need the word. You need the spirit. Can you live in the darkness? Can you live in the darkness of your life? Human body is designed that you need this a little bit of sunlight every day, not only just for to see things. First of all, you need something what? A vitamin for your body, right? Light is necessary to life. Without light, our world will return to its original condition, chaotic in their condition, very chaos, without form, void, and darkness. You remember that? The chaos in chapter 1 of Genesis, you remember that? Before the formation, before God created the world, what happened? The world is without form and shape. Void, empty, darkness. Christ knew that from the beginning. Not only that is without form and shape, because of sin too, the world, no matter you say that we are enlightened in the Western world, but from the eyes of the Word of God and from the eyes of the Bible, we are living in the darkness. Man without Christ stumbling in his walk and have no sense of direction. He cannot see the future. He cannot see and understand God and he and who God is and what he's like. He cannot see the real meaning, significant purpose in life. He cannot grasp spiritual knowledge. He cannot perceive the assurance of eternal life. And therefore Jesus said, "Ho, Christ is the light of the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And therefore Jesus raised this voice. He said, "My son, you are my children, but you are living in the dark world. You need my light." There's so much to talk about it. Let me stop here, even though I will not finish the point four. Hope maybe Brother Rod will invite me again so I'll continue the sermon. Right? Because I spent too much about the mission today. Remember, we need the bread of life. We need the water of life. We need the light of life to have a balanced Christian life. And there's so much to talk about the light. In our walk daily, we can walk in the light. In our spiritual search for the truth in the Bible, we need the spiritual light to illuminate our hearts and our mind to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Let me stop. Don't beat me. If you love me, call me again to finish the point four. I'll come the next time to your church and I said, the sermon will be what? Point number four. And then we're done, we'll go home. But anyway, such a joy to be with you. Let's have a little word of prayer and then Brother Rod will take over. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for allowing me to come and share about the needs of India, about what's going on there. And Lord, I pray even now as we listen to the story of what you are doing there. And on top of that, as we think about the persecution that hits India so hard for the last 6-7 months now, I pray for the Christian in the church, oh God, Spirit of God, move in their hearts, oh Father, so that they will say yes to be part of this Christian movement worldwide. Whatever we can do to bring the relief to the pain, to the hunger, to the suffering of our fellow Christian brothers and sisters in India. Thank you again for the word today. Thank you for reminding, not only to my friends, yet even for myself. I need your bread, God, every day. I need the water of life. I need the light every single day so that I may walk in your holiness, that I may walk in the truth. Speak to me and speak to all of us. And this is, as I said, just a second month of the year. Help us, O Father, to make a fresh commitment this year, to be the people of the Word, to be with the people who constantly desire to be filled with the Spirit. The people who wants to walk in the light as you are the light. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Lindo. Actually, we could talk about the fourth point in Sunday school. Oh. So those who are interested and want to be able to continue on that, we'll be going through that during the next hour.